This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everybody, please welcome with me Bianca Kotzin from South Africa. Bianca and I met a few weeks ago in Bali on my holiday, and she stayed in the same accommodation, and I was so fortunate to have little conversations here and there and to learn that she decided to stay in Bali and live there. So I'm really excited to share your story today, and thank you so much for having time to do this episode with me.
Well, thank you for having me, Hannah.
We talked already yesterday, because this is actually take two. So we talked already about the fact that living in Bali means pretty much also having lots of tourists around and lots of people that are coming and going. And you already mentioned it, but I would really love to share it again. How do you deal with the fact that it's a little bit harder to create and connect with like long-term connections and friendships? Is that a thing for you? Are you struggling, or how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so like I said yesterday, for me, it doesn't bother me too much. But what is nice to know is that there's always kind of people around. And I mean, I'm a member of a Facebook group for like solo travelers, solo girls specifically in Bali. And there's like a meetup chat. So if I'm ever feeling lonely or I feel like I want to hang out with someone, you just drop a message there, and there's always someone who's keen to do something. And so that's great. And I mean, like, I often go out by myself and I always make friends. Like, so I think that like the balance comes in where I'm just constantly meeting the most like interesting people, and there's always like a supply of these people. So I mean, I do sometimes wish I had someone who is a little bit more long term, and I have made a couple of friendships that have been a bit longer, but inevitably everyone kind of moves on. So it's just part of the thing. But yeah, so like I said, I don't mind too much, because I really enjoy my own company, and like I've kind of spent a lot of time like getting comfortable, just like hanging out with myself. I mean, Bali was my first solo travel sort of adventure. I came here on holiday last year and I fell in love, and I was like, cool, I want to live there. So I think that opened up a different sort of side of me, where I really get to just enjoy being my company and being in my own company. And it is quite liberating to be by yourself, because especially like if you think about the transport situation here, it's like a nightmare to get anywhere. So as soon as you're more than one person, it also makes it much more complicated. So that's just like one aspect. But basically, I can kind of just come and go as I please, do whatever I want. But yeah, I would love to have like someone I'm sort of like connected with in a longer term situation. But yeah, but take it as it comes. It's all part of the Bali journey, Bali experience. Yeah.
Thank you so much for explaining that again. And I guess for me, that's actually the journey I'm currently on, to learn how to be okay being by myself, and just the solitude and just enjoying my own company, sitting and reading a book and just not relying on someone else to distract me, and just really be present and understand, okay, it's me, myself, and I. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's awesome that you are able to enjoy your own company that much. And I think solo traveling, it has so many great moments, and you get to know so many more people as if you are in a couple, or if you are like with some friends, because you're so much more open to also interact and engage and find new friends, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And then there's also the aspect of like being by yourself. You're sort of forced to rely on yourself, forced to make decisions. Like there's no one to bounce things off of. So I think that's quite an interesting like aspect of it as well. But yeah.
Absolutely. And a big learning opportunity and like personal growth. I think a lot of people do that anyways for personal growth. So you will come out of it like a completely new person, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I want to start a little bit from the beginning, coming from South Africa. I've heard quite a lot because I have quite a few South African friends here in New Zealand as well. And there are certain things which are more often like a reputation. But can you tell us a little bit how it was for you to grow up in South Africa?
Sure. So I had a very happy childhood, but I will say it was very sheltered. I was lucky enough to grow up in the suburbs in like a fairly wealthy area. And I think around the time I was a teenager, it became kind of gated, which basically meant that they controlled access, not strictly, but you know, and that is the like safety aspect of living in South Africa. So, I mean, I was never unsupervised, never kind of just like played on the streets or anything. My parents were always there because, yes, South Africa is not a very safe place. And I mean, look, it's not to say that it's the most dangerous place in the world, but you kind of just have to be vigilant all the time. So I think what's interesting is that I kind of grew up in this environment where I was always sort of protected or always taught to be like a little bit alert and maybe even scared. And I didn't really realize how bad it was until I went traveling for the first time and then I came back. And then what I kind of realized was there was this feeling of tension that I always had and like stress. And I didn't know how to identify that until I really understood what it was like to feel safe and kind of comfortable outside of like, you know, the country. But yeah, like I had, like I said, a very happy childhood. It's a beautiful, beautiful country and you can definitely have amazing experiences there. Like I grew up in Johannesburg, which is like a built up city and there's lots of trees and like parks and that kind of thing. But I spent most of my holidays in Cape Town, which is a gorgeous city. Got the oceans, mountain, wine farms. Obviously I didn't really partake in the wine when I was a child, but yeah. So I guess I think to sum it up, I would just say my like growing up, I was quite sheltered. Like it was always like, let me know when you're there, you know, make sure you know how you're getting home, or like my parents would come pick me up. So I think that kind of limited in a way like the person that I've like became before I sort of started going out traveling by myself and doing that kind of thing. I mean, obviously it's never too late to become whoever you're supposed to be, but yeah, it's not ideal to grow up feeling like you're in a kind of constant state of danger in a way. Thankfully, nothing bad ever happened to me or my family, but yeah, it happens all the time. So I don't want to speak badly about it, but it's the truth, you know. And like, I don't want to tell people not to go there, but like, you have to go with your eyes open.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm glad that you grew up in an area where it was safe. And I found it so interesting when we had that conversation in Bali that you said you have constantly this underlying anxiety, as you said as well, like you didn't really know what it was until you went out and traveled. And I guess you could fully feel safe and you knew nothing bad will happen, and then coming back home back to being like alert all the time, like that's something probably there are a few other countries where people feel like that, but I think South Africa is definitely one of the countries where I hear more and more about it, and where people just like don't really like, there are such strict rules you follow without even questioning it to make sure you are safe. Is that how you kind of remember your childhood to be as well? Like just all these rules and you don't really you know, sneak out at night or do crazy things.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. And I think like, you know, there's a lot of experiences that I would have liked to have had and I didn't get to have, like maybe, you know, like I can't really ride a bicycle because I guess my parents didn't want to come with me and I couldn't go by myself, you know, so like there's that aspect. But yeah, and just like driving a car, like you can't pull up at a robot with your window down, and by robot I mean traffic light, so that's a South Africanism. And it's also been quite sort of sad because it wasn't always as bad as it is now, and you can sort of see it actively getting worse. But yeah, it's home, you know, like I'm always going to have love for it. It's just something opened up for me when I went into a place where I felt like I didn't have to look over my shoulder the whole time. You know, you can kind of become like the full embodiment of who you are when you're not constantly anxious. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. It's crazy how you describe it. Like, for me, it would be absolutely normal to go out and ride my bike, right? And just to be by myself as well. And you say it as it's completely normal that you couldn't ride the bike or that you can't have the window down when you are on a traffic light. But for people who grew up somewhere else, like, for example, for me, that's like you wouldn't even know that that's unusual if you wouldn't go out and travel and see that it's possible somewhere else. And so for people who have never left South Africa, that's their whole world. That's what they know. And they don't even really realize that it's different or it can be different. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's like you kind of, you don't know what you're missing until you know, and then you can't unknow it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you once you went out and came back to get used to it again? Or did you sometimes forget, or shoot, I should actually not have the window open, or I should not walk this way, or I shouldn't do this or that?
No, it's like so ingrained in me. I have to remind myself that I don't have to do that stuff here, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just part of who I am. But I mean, I have relaxed now that I've been in Bali for about 3 months. But yeah, no, it's just sort of like muscle memory, almost just second nature to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My friends from South Africa also say like it's such a beautiful country and they miss it every day. They wouldn't necessarily go back because they are also having this fear and want to keep their family safe. But they say, how did she say it? She said, you can take yourself out of South Africa, but you can never take South Africa out of you.
Yeah, no, so true. It really is.
I would love to see the country, just like, you know, everything about it. Is there anything you have learned now since you're traveling more that you think people don't know about South Africa, like a misconception or something where you are like, people actually have no idea?
Well, what's been quite interesting specifically in Bali is that every time I tell like a Grab driver or any local basically that I'm from South Africa, they're so confused because my skin is white. I mean, I think a lot of them don't really know about South Africa, so they just hear Africa and then they've just, you know, like baffles them. And then like I've spoken to some people from like New Zealand and Australia, and a lot of them think that we all just speak Afrikaans, but that is also not true. I mean, obviously people speak Afrikaans, but I think it's English. What I found out that was interesting is only 10% of the population actually speak English, demographically, according to maybe my sources are not that reliable, but I thought sort of English was more widely spoken. I don't know about any other misconceptions. I think what's also interesting is the like there's like a handful of things people know about South Africa, you know, like biltong, which is our they dry out and flavor meat, and it's a big thing. Braais, which is basically like a barbecue, and I guess our rugby, and people don't know much else. And also, people have never heard of Johannesburg. They've heard of Cape Town, which, like, I don't blame them. I'm not a big fan of Johannesburg, even though I grew up there. I lived in Cape Town for 3 years, and it's an amazing city to live. But yeah, that's probably all the things I can think of. Yeah.
That's cool. Thank you for that. I think also some people, but probably not everyone knows, especially for me coming from Germany and then having Afrikaans, that there are some similarities and some words are the same. Yeah. So that's really cool for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and I've been learning Indonesian, like, to speak it. And there was a lot of Dutch influence when it was colonized. So there's actually a lot of Afrikaans words in Indonesian, which has also been quite interesting.
Oh, wow. Are you speaking Afrikaans, by the way?
Not really. I mean, like, I can string a sentence together if I really have to, and I can probably understand if people speak slowly enough, but no, not really. Yeah.
So how did this idea start that you wanted to leave South Africa, and just generally that you made the decision to actually move away from there?
So I think basically what happened for me was I had a very sort of like chaotic and maybe even a little bit traumatic year in 2023. And I kind of got to the point where I didn't have an apartment anymore. I kind of like lost my whole group of friends. I didn't have a job at that point, and I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find another apartment that I could afford, because there's a housing crisis in Cape Town at the moment, because a lot of foreigners have come in and bought property. So anyway, and I wanted to work remotely, so I wanted a two-bedroom, and I was like, I was kind of stuck in my like idea of what I needed. Anyway, and then eventually I sort of got very overwhelmed, and I decided I need to step back from the situation. I put all of my stuff in storage, and I Googled like where to go in October, and Bali came up, and I was like, never been there, let's go. So so off I went to Bali, and I ended up extending my trip. Oh, but also a little side note was I've never traveled alone. So I'd always done group tours. Like, I used to travel with like G Adventures or Top Deck, and I loved it. And that was my plan for Bali, but I booked my flight, and then I kind of didn't book my spot on the tour in time. And it was like 3 days. I don't know what I was thinking or why I didn't book it sooner. But anyway, it was 3 days before I was supposed to leave. And I was like, shit, there's no space on this tour for me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try solo traveling. And so I was like, if I don't like it, I don't know, I'll figure it out, whatever. So I planned on following the tour that the group was doing, which started in Jakarta and moved like across Indonesia and then ended sort of in Bali. But after about a full day in Jakarta, I was like, I have no business trying to go all the way across Indonesia. I've got like no experience. I have no idea how to navigate this. I don't speak the language. So like I was panicking, and I was like, I need to go home. And then I think it was like my brother's girlfriend. She was like, just fly straight to Bali. And then if you really want to go across Indonesia, you can work your way back. Because like I was leaving from Jakarta. So I booked my ticket to Bali. I booked accommodation on the morning at the airport. It was a very like crazy, disorganized holiday at the beginning there. Anyway, and I got to Bali, and I was here for about a day or two, and I was staying in the most amazing sort of like hut in the jungle in Ubud, and it was just like glass walls and jungle everywhere, and it was like incredible. And I was like, I don't need to see the rest of Indonesia just yet. I'm quite happy here. So yeah, so basically I made friends with the local, and he took me on like a tour, like, and he wasn't even a tour guide. He was just a local trying to earn, like, he practices English. So he was like, oh, I'll just show you around. And I was like, I hope you're not a murderer. I'm from South Africa. We assume everyone's a murderer, you know? But he turned out to be absolutely lovely. And he kind of that was like the point where I was like, wow, like there's all these cool experiences and I'm going to have them. So yeah, so I spent, I think, 2 weeks in Ubud, and then I was like, cool, I'm ready to move on. And then I felt like I had my like travel feet, and I was like, I'm gonna go to Kuta. And I hated Kuta, and I was like, I even forfeited like 3 nights of my accommodation. I was like, I just need to get out of this place. It was just, there's like a very hectic energy there. I'm not bashing it, but for me it wasn't a vibe. And then I went to Seminyak, and then I went to Canggu, and I had so much fun in Canggu because like there's a crazy like nightlife here. There's the beach, which is beautiful, and And then I went to like Nusa Penida, Gili Islands, and then I kind of like ticked, oh, and Uluwatu, and I ticked off all the things I wanted to do, and then I went back and did all the ones I loved like again. I ended up extending my like I moved my flight, and I was like, I'm not ready to leave yet. And I think it was about halfway through the trip, I was like, could I live here? Like, there was, because there's so many people that are living in Bali and like working, like the digital nomads and all that. And I think I'd always like thought about the idea of leaving South Africa, but there'd never been a place that like felt like somewhere I wanted to go until I got to Bali. And I was like, I could actually see myself living here. And it just felt like such a scary but exciting like thing, that like an opportunity. And then this like this idea just formed in my head, and it just grew and grew into this like real plan. And I mean, it's not the most, I'm going to be honest, well-formed plan. I'm like kind of winging it still. But yeah, it was just something about Bali and like the energy here kind of just like helped me sort of become like a better version of myself. Like I was suddenly not scared of everything, and I was like, oh, there's like all these things that I can do, and it suddenly felt like I could really do them. So I just decided I need to spend more time here. You know, if it doesn't work out in the long term, that's okay. So so yeah, I got back home, and I mean, when I left Bali, I was just like bawling on the plane. I was like, I want to leave. It felt like I was leaving a loved one. Like I genuinely fell in love with this place. And yeah, and then I just started making all the plans to move here, which luckily wasn't too hectic because all my stuff was already packed up. I just basically moved it all to Johannesburg and put it in my parents' house, which they luckily generously let me do, so I didn't have to pay for storage. And yeah, and then I got to the point where I was struggling to find work, like remote work, and I'm still actually in that point. But I was like, I want to do this. And like, it's probably the first time in a long time that I felt confident about a decision that I've made, and it felt like something I really wanted. So I decided I will take my savings, half my savings, because I'm not a complete loon. And I can make that work for 6 months. And the longest visa you can get without getting a kitas, which you need a bit more money for, it's like a year-long visa. Mine is 6 months. It's basically a two-month tourist visa that you can renew or extend three times, so or twice. So it's a total of 6 months. And I was like, cool, I'm gonna do this for 6 months. Hopefully work will come in. If it doesn't, you know, I'm good financially. It's not the best, it's not the most financially like responsible choice, but it wasn't really about that, you know. It was about like my own personal development and this experience. And yeah, so I came back here, and I've been so happy.
Oh, I love your story. Oh my god, it makes me so happy. You have no idea, because everything you say is just so resonating with me. Amazing. Like just that, you know, feeling of you are not knowing where to go, you feel stuck, and then just making a decision, winging it, falling in love with a place, and knowing deep down that that's the right thing. Because I do a lot of things intuitive. I listen a lot to my gut feeling, and I'm like, okay, this just feels so right. And therefore going for it just is the only option, really, no matter how scary it is, because clearly leaving your country and everything behind is scary. But how you explain, like, you already realize how much you have grown and you love this place and it feels like home for you. And I'm just so excited for you.
No, it's just like, it feels like where I'm meant to be at this stage in my life. And I am very aware of the fact that, like, I don't think it is for me necessarily a sustainable place to be living. Like, I don't know if I could really, and I'm not like obsessed with putting down roots, but I don't really feel like it's that kind of place. Specifically, the visa situation makes it quite tricky. I mean, it's easy to work around, but it does get quite expensive, especially because you've got to do visa runs, so you've got to leave the country for a bit. And anyway, apart from that, like, I think I mentioned that it doesn't bother me not having people here long term, but I think it would get to me at a certain point. You know, I'm still kind of like in the novelty of everything, but I think it would start to bother me. And there are definitely people who are here longer and people who live here permanently. So there is the community, and I could probably tap into that. But my point is that I'm just kind of like, I'm open to this not being my sort of forever place, but I'm so grateful to be able to be here now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How long have you been living there now?
It's been 3 months.
Nice.
Yeah.
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 And do you know, or you know how everyone, and probably yourself included and myself included, everyone is thinking, oh my God, Bali is this dreamy place and it's like heaven. And everyone is like having in their mind, probably not everyone, but a lot of people picture that as like my dream life, living in Bali and spending the rest of my life there. But we all know sometimes living in paradise can make it not as much as a paradise anymore. Do you feel like that's for you as well? Or do you think you're still, as you said, in that novelty, that everything is still so amazing and everything is just perfect? Or have you already noticed like everyday life can come around and it's just not perfect there as well? It's not as dreamy as everyone pictures in their mind.
Yeah. So look, I will be, I mean, I'm not, Bali is not perfect by any means. It's like, it's not, like the infrastructure is not amazing. I mean, you can kind of like hear the electricity when you walk past the electricity poles and stuff, you know, and like the water is not very clean. Like the water that comes out of the taps, like you can't drink it. I have a filter on my shower because it damages your hair. And like, there are a lot of problems here, but for me, it still feels like paradise. And those problems don't feel like real problems, if that makes sense. Like you can work around them. I think that, yeah, so the novelty definitely hasn't worn off yet for me. And there's also just something about specifically the locals here are like some of the friendliest, just most amazing people that I've ever encountered. And I think that's also so good for me in contrast to what I experience at home, because there's a lot of sort of like grumpiness and like racism, and it's not really like a super pleasant environment. Whereas here, everyone I interact with, it's like a great experience. So I think it still feels very much like paradise. And I mean, you wake up and it's warm every day, you know, like for me, that's perfect. So, and look, I haven't been here during the rainy season, so I think that will be a different experience completely, especially if you're in somewhere like Ubud, because I think the mosquitoes get a bit like out of hand. I don't know. I think at some point maybe it would wear off, but for now, yeah, I still absolutely love it.
Yeah. And can you mention again what your occupation is? Because you said you want to work remotely and you struggle at the moment, but maybe you will get some more work in. But what is actually your work? What can you do?
Okay, so I'm a copywriter by profession generally, but I prefer to just call myself a writer because I can sort of like, obviously I can write. So I'm actually busy writing a novel at the moment, which is like a little passion project for myself.
Wow. Awesome.
And also I've been wanting to do that for a really long time, and I figured, okay, I'm not working, so I want to keep sort of like honing my skills and you know, do something that brings me joy. So I've been doing that and I've been loving it. But yeah, so what I normally do is I work as a copywriter. So I will kind of come up with concepts for campaigns for brands who want to sort of like advertise a particular product or, you know, service, that kind of thing. And if it's not, you know, it's not always conceptual, but the, like, if they need a copy for like a flyer, social post, emails, newsletters, that kind of thing. So I basically will write the words for that. And then usually I would work with a designer or an art director who would bring it to life visually. And, I mean, like in the past I've worked for mostly advertising agencies in South Africa, and like I've been in this industry for about 10 years and done well, like a lot of cool stuff in my portfolio. But basically what kind of happened, obviously COVID happened and then everyone was remote working, and that was great and I loved it. And that's actually when I moved to Cape Town, because I was like, oh, I can live anywhere, I'm gonna go there. And that worked for quite a while after COVID, but now everyone seems to want you to be in the office again. Or they have like a hybrid policy, which isn't really even a hybrid policy. It's like you can work from home one day. But yeah, so that's kind of like why I've been struggling, because I used to get all of my work through like my network, and they were all big ad agencies, but now they aren't really interested in remote workers. So that's why I've been struggling. I mean, I've been reaching out to sort of more international companies, applying for lots of jobs on LinkedIn and Seek and I can't remember the other one, but yeah, and just nothing's really panned out yet. So, I mean, I'm getting little odd jobs here and there, which is great. But yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm not 100% sure I can stay in Bali, because if I can't afford, you know, to live here by working remotely, I'm going to have to go back and work in an office.
But ideally, like if you actually manage to find a job that will finance your lifestyle over there, would you consider staying like long term? Yeah. Because no one really knows what happens. Like, you know, we can say I want to stay here forever, and then after 10 years we are like, oh, I guess I go somewhere else.
I think that I probably would want to stay here for as long as possible. That's how I feel now. Obviously that might change. But yeah, like if I can sustain this lifestyle, and if there are no other sort of like opportunities that present themselves, which I'm very open to as well, yeah, I would absolutely stay here. But I do think that coming here and living here and making this like leap has sort of put me in a bit of like a transitionary phase in my life where I'm like, you know, I feel like I could now live anywhere. And I would be open to that experience, because I think, you know, this has taught me so much. I've grown so much living here. You know, what have I got to lose, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely understand that. I feel like I can see myself in that too. It's just that trust and openness that whatever opportunity presents itself, you kind of have the ability to just go for it and to just take it. And if it feels right, you can just move. And it's like you don't have to settle down. For me as well, I'm out of a relationship now. I'm not bound to this country at all. Like I still feel like home here, but I'm also like, who knows if something happens at home, maybe I move closer to Europe again, or I never know what will happen, or maybe I manage to find something that makes me be able to go more often to see my family, but still live in New Zealand. Like just to be open and see what happens, so that you don't limit yourself, I guess, as well. And I think positive experience are just like telling you it's possible, you don't have to be scared. I think it's this mindset of it's scary, but you do it anyways, because you know afterwards you're not scared of it anymore.
Yeah, 100%.
I also feel like, and that's kind of a transition to the next topic, like we are having like kind of similar mindset, and I think people who are having similar mindsets are attracting each other in some aspects, that we will find each other and we will be like, it's easier for us to connect and to just, you know, get have that understanding. And Bali, of course, is like such a big part of mindfulness and yoga and spirituality just in general. How do you feel about that in Bali? Like, what's your experience around that, and how are you thinking about that topic?
So so I've kind of like been on like a journey towards becoming sort of more spiritual and that kind of thing since before I got to Bali. But when I got here, like specifically in Ubud, my mind was blown. I mean, I bought kind of, I think it was like a 5-class pass at a place called Yoga Barn. I mean, then there's like a million yoga places you can go to in Ubud, and I'm sure they're all equally amazing. But I just sort of like loved this place, so I just kept going there, and also I bought the 5-class pass. But anyway, so I didn't just go to yoga. I went to sort of like meditation classes, and then I went to, I think it was like a feminine mysteries circle or something. And they have like all of these things. I mean, I've done sound healing since I've been here. I've gone to like breath work. I've done to like, it was like a chakra activation process. Like, you know, it's, and I'm going to like a Kundalini activation process next week. So there's just so many of these opportunities to like expand on that if you're interested in it. And that's not to say you can't find them elsewhere, but there's just like a community that makes it feel like the natural thing to do. So, you know, a lot of people are kind of opposed to what we call the woo-woo, but I mean, I love it. And I love that it's such a part of life here. And I think there is an aspect of it being sort of marketed to tourists. And I think some people do sort of take a bit of a, you know, not a, I don't know how to say it, but like they take advantage a little bit. But like, I mean, I think that you've never really got anything to lose except maybe some money. I think of these experiences are worth trying, you know. And I've just, all of these classes that I've gone to have been like at the very least interesting and at the most a little bit life-changing, you know. So I think when it comes to like the yoga, the spirituality, the mindfulness, that's part of what attracted me to this place so much. It's just part of life here. And I mean, I love it. So
yeah.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not even embarrassed.
Honestly, I have to admit, for me, it's the same thing. Like I grew up Catholic, so I was in that kind of sense religious, but then I now move more and more into spirituality and I give more space to everything. And I'm like, well, I don't know what's out there, but I just want to, you know, be open for possibilities. And I don't have to judge other people for what they believe in and just can, you know, you do you. Yeah. And also with like, I'm tapping so much more into yoga and mindfulness and like energy work. And same for me. I'm like, what do I lose except maybe money? But if I don't feel any change, then that's okay. It was interesting, as you said, you have probably learned something new, and it's just amazing to meet new people as well. So I totally feel you on that. And looking back from the person you were when you came from South Africa and looking at you now, what changes can you see in yourself, like this journey? How have you changed over time?
Well, yeah. So I think the first thing that I think of when you ask me that question is, so I was basically, I've been in sort of therapy for the last, I guess, 2 years. And I was just really struggling to kind of have made or like nurture the relationship that I have with myself, which is obviously where a lot of our general sort of issues come from and the way we relate to other people. And I think I understood all of it on like a cognitive level and I believed it and all that stuff. But after some time in Bali, I could like fully embody everything that I'd learned through therapy or everything that I've been trying to sort of like grasp. It just kind of like, it was almost like pieces fell into place and it just became true for me. And I mean, you know, I'm not saying Bali is 100% the reason, but it definitely was a bit of a catalyst. And I think it was partly that I had to back myself, you know, like I had to be like, cool, I'm just going to make this decision. If it doesn't work out, I'll figure it out, because like that was the only option. So I think like since then I've become sort of like I'm much nicer to myself. I'm much braver. I'm much more sort of like, I guess like optimistic. I'm very like go with the flow. Like nothing really bothers me. I say that, but I mean, obviously that's not true all the time, but it's just like a thing that sort of happened since I came to Bali. Like I just, ugh, it is what it is. In fact, I say it is what it is so often that I even got it tattooed on my arm here, but you know,
nice.
So so I think I've just become a much more sort of relaxed, like at peace kind of person. And I'm much more sort of interested in experiences and being present and kind of just like taking in everything, then focusing on like what's missing in my life and, you know, what I need to do to get it. And I've just sort of accepted that like my journey is my own and there's nothing wrong with it just because it doesn't look like someone else's. Yeah, and that stuff has all just become very, very true for me in the last sort of like 6 to 12 months since coming on this little adventure.
That sounds super awesome. Really, I'm super happy for you.
Thank you.
Also yeah, thinking about all these things that happened to you in South Africa with like no job, and you mentioned like you lost a circle of friends as well, and that must have been quite hard. But do you think that pushed you out as well? Because for me, I think a big group of friends, even though I have a big group of friends at home and it was hard to leave them behind, but if you kind of don't have that anymore, that's pretty much a big thing for you to just,
yeah,
you have that, not nothing holding you back in a way.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was a huge thing. And that's why I like, you know, I guess when we were talking about religion and spirituality, I've kind of come to feel like kind of like the universe is kind of my God. And I feel like there's always a bit of a plan in the works. And as painful as that experience was, firstly, those people that I was friends with weren't really my people, as I realized afterwards, you know. I mean, I'm grateful that I had the experience of being friends with them, but we didn't really actually have that much in common. And, you know, I'm better off without them. And the whole thing pushed me to do this thing where I came to Bali. And obviously, I mean, you know, the rest. So absolutely, like, that's been my experience with most of sort of like the painful experiences in life are often the most valuable, you know, because, you know, if you don't get yourself there, so things will happen that'll get you there. Like, you always end up where you need to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally get that. I also am at the point where I'm like, what needs to happen will happen. And just I think learning, my biggest thing I'm currently working on is learning to let go and to just let everything happen, be open for opportunities. Like, I'm not sitting in my chair waiting for something amazing to come to my life, but being active, going out, doing my networking, and just trust
opening the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then just, I'm really good at holding on for too long. So I'm also learning that now, that it's okay, like, people will come and go, and it's okay if people decide to be out of your life. It's okay if people don't want to be part of your life anymore. It's painful. Especially, I always had like a massive fear of loss, and just would then have that anxious attachment, you know, where you, as soon as something moves away, you are kind of holding on to it even more. And that's like a big learning opportunity for me now as well, to just let it be, sit with the emotions, and just accept that that's just life. So I can relate to that.
But it's hard. I mean, that doesn't come naturally to us, you know what I mean? Like,
so absolutely, it's
something you have to really learn how to do. It's not easy.
And one day you get it right, and the next day or week you might be right back to old habits, and you think, oh my God, how could I get there again? But it's like curves, right? It will work, and then another day you struggle with that, and then another day it will be perfectly fine again. So
for sure, I think half the battle is just being aware of the fact that you are slipping into, you know, if you can recognize that you're doing that, you're already in a much better position than you would have been before, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I guess self-awareness is like a big part of being able to grow in the first place, because if you think already that you're amazing and you don't see any improvement or potential that you could change or could be better or learn from other people, like, if you don't have that self-awareness, it's quite hard to actually get out of your habits and to just be non-judgmental and open to other people's opinions and just see that there's not only one way. So
absolutely. Yeah.
I guess self-awareness is the key to a lot of things. So I'm super glad that you found your way. And I'm just really, really happy for you, because you are living the life that I also always feel in my heart is the right way to do. And I'm hoping a lot, like, that's one part of why I did this podcast as well. I want people to listen to it and or to watch it and then be like, okay, I have this desire to go out in the world, but I'm too afraid. But all these stories make me feel like I can do it, and they have done it, and when they can do it, I can do it, and just trust in themselves as well, and maybe then take the leap of faith and also be like, okay, I'm just, you know, booking that ticket, or I'm doing this solo trip. It doesn't have to be moving abroad straight away. So that's what I'm hoping, that, you know, we can motivate other people, we can give them some trust and strength and just motivation, inspire them.
That's the interesting thing about that, like when you do things, like firstly, you're capable of more than you think you are, always. And secondly, when you do the things that scare you, it just levels you up, because once you've done that, you're like, actually, what else can I do, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's how we grow. You have to just fucking, sorry, you have to take a little leap.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always said you have to do the things that scare you the most, because that actually gives you the most.
Yeah.
But yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Of course, it's not always easy. I know it's easier said than done. So I'm not judging anyone who is not able to do it yet, or who is like just like one step away or 10 steps away. It's okay. Like everyone will get there eventually if they really want to. And if not, that's fine too.
Yeah.
100%. Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy that we got to talk about that. And I end every episode with my quick three questions. It's pretty much like rapid fire questions where you just do one word, one sentence. Sometimes I extend it a little bit, but in general, that's what it is about.
Okay.
So question number one, since you're living in Bali, your best life, and you live in paradise, what do you miss the most from South Africa?
Clean water.
Sorry?
Clean water.
Clean water. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an essential thing. Fair enough.
Yeah. I should probably have said my mom, actually.
No, honestly. I'm actually quite happy. A lot of people say family and friends, because that's just the normal. Like, of course, we do miss them a lot. But I find it really interesting if it's not that first that comes into our mind, because then it's like really something no one else would think of. So clean water is a really great answer. Okay. Question number two. Which food place or activity would you recommend to someone who goes to Bali?
I think, oh my gosh, there's so many. Hang on. I'm panicking. Do you know what? It's expensive, but it's such a cool vibe. La Brisa. It's a beach club in Canggu.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I will also note it down in my mind just for the next time.
Cool.
Thank you. And the last question, what advice would you give someone who would consider also going out, leaving their home country and just taking that leap of faith?
I would say probably just do it. If you don't like it, you can come back.
Yeah.
Nothing is set in stone.
That's a good one, because it takes a little bit of the anxiety away, I feel. Yeah. I mean, of course, some people don't have the choice to go back if it's like, you know, running from war or something. But I guess in general, that's a different, that's a different circumstance anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, even if the answer isn't like, do it, if you don't like it, you can come back. If you don't like it, you can leave, basically. You can go somewhere else. Like, if those sorts of options are open to you, it depends what passport you have. Like, me as a South African, I don't have a lot of options. But point is, just do it, you'll figure it out.
Is that because of your passport? Is it not accepted? Like, is it so hard everywhere?
Well, for example, I was like playing with the idea of moving to Australia, and it's really, really, really difficult. So, as in to get a visa where I can work. I can go there on a tourist visa. That's not such a big deal. But to move there is really, really challenging, and it's very expensive. And yeah, it's just a lot of like hoops to jump through. Same with the UK, same with the US. So yeah, it's a bit of a thing. Very few countries that just kind of let us in.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to admit, it wasn't that easy to get visas sorted in New Zealand either. And I guess tourist visa are way easier, of course.
Sure, yeah.
Getting like work visa done is always a little bit tricky, but yeah, some countries make it a little bit easier for immigrants than others, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway,
And
it is what it is.
then of course some passports are easier than others. That's just the reality of it. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. But thank you so much for sharing that with us. I loved
You're very
it.
welcome.
I'm
Thanks,
feeling
Anne.
really inspired again, and I have a
Good.
lot of ideas of what I want to do in the future. But for now, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and it was great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks
And
for letting
I
me talk for like an hour.
loved it. And I hope that someone else will be able to take something from it as well. And I hope everyone who was watching or listening enjoyed it as well. So thank you so
Hope so
much.
too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.